Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, guys. How's everybody doing tonight? Good. Amen. Good to see everybody. Excited to be bringing the word tonight in the stead of Pastor Mark. This is Wednesday night adult Bible study, right? Usually we're down in the basement, and that's all right, right? So, but I'm excited to be here to minister in big church, as we used to call it. Right? Talking to you guys. So, praise God. If you got your Bible, I would invite you to turn to the book of Psalms, the 118th chapter. Yay. Hey, that's okay. I know your heart. I know that your heart's in it. Amen. It's the middle of the week. But hopefully, the Lord has a word for you that's going to charge you and propel you into the rest of this week and the rest of this month and the rest of this year and for all eternity. Amen? Praise God. All right, so Psalm 118, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." Amen? "Let Israel now say, His mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, His mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, His mercy endures forever." Amen. Psalm 136, verses 1 through 3 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever." You catching on? You getting the theme of what we're talking about tonight? Amen. And it goes on, and they continue to talk about the goodness and the mercy of God, and He starts to explain how wondrous creation is because of God's goodness and His mercy enduring forever. So we see here that God is good and His mercies endure forever. Now the Hebrew word here for mercy is hesed, translated as God's loving kindness toward humanity. Mercy is also translated from the Greek word eleos, which goes beyond just the feeling or emotion of sympathy or pity, but takes form in a much more tangible way, closely related to compassion. You understand that sympathy is feeling sorry for someone, right? Pitying them. Anybody ever felt sorry for somebody? And it's maybe without being able to put yourself in their position, right? Sympathy is having those feelings or that emotion of pitying someone without being able to relate to what they're going through. But on the flip side, empathy is being able to put yourself in their shoes, being able to understand their situation and relate to them in that way. Man, I know what you're going through. I've been there. I know that's tough. I feel what you're going through, right? But there's another one that even goes a step further and invokes a desire to help or to relieve that burden, and that is compassion. Right? So sympathy is simply feeling sorry for someone. Empathy is being able to relate to them and understand what they're going through. But compassion goes beyond, and it's a burning desire to want to relieve that burden. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like maybe what God did in our situation? God literally stepped down into our humanity because He didn't just feel sorry for you. Man, I hate what you're going through. That whole sin thing, yeah, that's tough. He didn't just empathize with what we were going through. though Jesus did come in the form of a man and he was able to understand the conflict, no. He was moved with compassion and did something about it. Amen? When we're faced with a need or a complication, we need to start thanking God for His goodness and for His mercies toward us, His loving kindness. The mercy of God can be applied to any area of need in our lives. The mercy of God meets that need. Think about the story of the 10 lepers. Go over to Luke chapter 17. Gospel of Luke chapter 17. And we see this story here about 10 lepers. Starting in verse 11, it says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off." Verse 13, it says, "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" Have mercy on us. "So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed." Now, if you study this out, it was customary in the Old Testament that as a leper, you had to go and show yourself to the priest during a ceremonial cleansing for him to determine whether you were clean or not. And there are a number of concerted views about the meaning behind this and how it relates to us in New Testament times, but we don't have time to chase that rabbit tonight. So, they were told, he says, "Go and show yourself to the priest." But I think it's so good right here. He says, it says here, "So it was as they went." As they went, right? Jesus gave them a command, "Go show yourselves to the priest," right? That was the command of Jesus, and they acted upon that and went. So it was as they went that they were cleansed. Amen? See, these men needed healing in their bodies. But what was it that they asked Jesus for? His mercy. It was His mercy. There are healing mercies available to us that if we would ask God in faith about our situation, He would not just pity you or feel sorry for you, but that He would step into your situation with His everlasting mercy, His loving kindness, His great compassion for you, and make you whole again. Praise God. These men knew who Jesus was enough to go and ask Him for His mercy, that in that they would find healing for their bodies, in His mercy. Now we keep reading here, and it says in verse 15, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." Now, if you know anything about the history between the Jews and the Samaritans, they did not like each other, right? And so Jesus says, "Were there not 10 of you that were cleansed? But where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except for this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." Only one came back and gave thanks and worshiped God for what took place. Jesus says there were 10 of you, but only one Only one of you has received the revelation of my mercy on him, being a Samaritan at that, a foreigner, an outsider. And Jesus tells him to get up and go on his way, that his faith in who Jesus was, not just what he could do. Amen? Faith in who Jesus was, because he came back and fell on his face and praised God. That's what made him whole. Psalm 109:21 says, because your mercy is good, deliver me. Mercy delivers. From the outpouring of his goodness, his mercy flows. From the outpouring of his, it's all about his goodness. It's because he's good. Amen? It's not just that he does good. He is good. You may find times that you need deliverance from something, some habit or some trial, some sin or some temptation. His deliverance is his mercy towards you, his compassion towards you, his goodness towards you. And you can thank God and worship God for his mercy, and his mercy will begin to flow in your life. You praise God and you thank God for his mercy, and his mercy will flow. Know this, that what you thank God and praise God for is what will begin to flow. Have an expectation for God to move on your behalf. What you expect, you will receive. What you expect, you will receive. So have an expectation of good in your life. Have an expectation that good things will happen to you, because God is a good God. Amen. When you praise and thank him for his mercy of deliverance, deliverance will flow. When you thank him for his mercy of healing, healing will flow. Guys, it's all about your expectation from him. What are you thanking him and praising him for? Praise is an act of faith. Amen? Would we all agree with that? That praise is an act of faith. When you praise and thank God for his mercies, they begin to flow in your life. When you praise him and thank him that these things are taking place and happening in your life and becoming a reality to you, these things will begin to flow and manifest in your life. You know what makes the devil more mad than anything in this world? When believers praise God in the middle of everything that the devil is trying to throw at them. Nothing frustrates the devil more. Nothing makes him more angry than when you stand and praise God in the middle of what you're facing. When all hell is breaking loose in your life, but you can still look up and praise him and say, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever, you're unstoppable. Because if he can't get you off when he's throwing everything that he has at you, he's good, and his mercy endures forever. And we praise God not because every situation is praiseworthy, but because He is praiseworthy in every situation. Psalm 100 verse 5 in the New King James says, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." That same verse in the New Living Translation says, "For the Lord is good, His unfailing love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues generation to generation to generation." Everlasting. Endures forever. Psalm 118 verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." We already read that, but hey, it's good anyway. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." I think that there's something that God is trying to get across to us. I remember when I was in school, the teacher said, "If I repeat something, write it down." Why? Because it's important. Right? Because it's important. It's going to be on the test. Right? If God repeats something, it might just be important. He might just want you to know that He is good and that His mercy endures forever. Amen? Go to 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we're going to read a little story about King Jehoshaphat. And we won't read all of this for the sake of time. We'll jump around a little bit. But in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1, it says, "It happened after this, that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon and others, with them besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are the Hazazon Tamir,'" however you say that, "'which is in Gedi.' And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord." The whole kingdom came together. He declared a fast. They all came together to seek the Lord. And then it goes and it says in verses 5 preceding there, Jehoshaphat stands before the people and he begins to pray. He says this prayer and he speaks to God. Amen. In verse 13 it says, "Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, 'Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord.'" That's important, right? "Thus says the Lord." You better listen up. "Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid. "Nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours." The battle is not yours, then whose is it? It's God's. "This battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Juriel. You will not need to fight this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you." That's pretty powerful, isn't it? The word of the Lord comes to you and says, "Listen, I know that you have all of these enemy forces stacked up against you, but the battle is not yours, it's God's. So all I need you to do is line up out there and watch what happens. Go take your positions, stand there, and see the salvation of the Lord, for He is with you. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with their voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning, went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe His prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, saying... Now, get this. He didn't put the best fighters on the front line. Who did he put there? The praisers. Amen? He put the praisers, he put the worshipers on the front lines. That would be like us taking Christina and Stacy and Dean and many others of you that are praisers and worshipers. Hopefully that's all of us. But that would be you guys out on the front lines, right? You're facing the enemy and you're like, dude, I got a harp. What am I going to do? Right? But he put the praisers on the front lines, and they went out before the army saying, "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever." Now when they begin to sing and praise the Lord, says that God set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah. And it says they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir and utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. God had them all confused. These people are out here singing. What's happening? Confused, turning, killing one another. Taking out the armies that had been set up before Judah and all Jerusalem. Killed each other. And they were just there. Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Right? Did not lift a sword, did not draw a bow. They praised the Lord. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were there the dead bodies fallen on the earth. And it says that no one escaped. All of them dead. And then it goes on to say that the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem reaped the spoils of battle that they did not fight. Amen? Get a picture of that. They reaped the spoils, the reward of a battle that they did not fight. There is one who fights your battles for you, and you reap the rewards and the benefits of a battle that you did not fight. Praise God. Put the praisers on the front lines. Come on. 2 Chronicles 5, 13 and 14. Let's see, I need to turn there. Sorry, I don't have it in here. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. We see here, this is the dedication of the temple. King Solomon built the temple for the Ark of the Covenant, and it talks about the furnishings and all of those things, and this is the dedication of the temple once it had been completed. And it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "Indeed it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. And in that moment, the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled that house." Get a picture of this. They're in the temple. Amen? The Ark of the Covenant has been brought in. The glory, the Holy of Holies, right? The glory of the Lord. And they were all in one place, making one sound unto the Lord, praising Him and thanking Him. And they were saying, He's good and His mercy endures forever. Now, when I read this, it reminded me of something. What brought about the glory being manifested in that place? Unity. They were all in one place, one mind, one accord, singing and saying the same thing, rejoicing unto God. It was one sound. The trumpets, the cymbals, the voices, but it was one sound unto the Lord. For He is good and His mercy endures forever. And so, like I said, that reminded me of something. Go over to the book of Acts. Some of y'all are like, I knew he was going there. The glory fell in that place. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, we see this, the Holy Spirit being promised to the disciples. And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. And then in verse 14 it says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." They were told not to depart from that place until the promise of the Father had come, which was the Holy Spirit. Right? And then Jesus ascends into heaven. So they stay there in that one place. They continued in one mind and one accord, praying together. Amen? And then in Acts chapter 2, in verse 1, it says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with what? One accord in one place, of the same mind, focused on the same thing, waiting for the same thing, the promise of the Father." Amen? They were there together in one mind and one accord, waiting for the Holy Spirit. And it says that in that place, suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were in one place of one mind and one accord, and God met them there. And the Holy Spirit was poured out upon this earth. The promise that they had been given when Jesus left, they were getting something better. One that would not be with them, but that would be in them. The Holy Spirit came. And much like those who were in one mind and one accord in the book of Chronicles, when the glory of God fell and the cloud entered the room and the ministers could no longer minister because it was so thick, they fell on their faces before God. We see from this moment, after they're filled with the Holy Spirit in one mind and one accord, 120 of them in the upper room, then what happens? They're released from that place because they have what they need to go out and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we see the first sermon come from Peter, the one who had denied Jesus. We see the first sermon and 3,000 then enter the fold. The Holy Spirit was on the scene and things would never be the same. Psalm 34 verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who puts his trust in Him." He wants you to see it. He wants you to see it. He wants you to see it. The glory of the Lord. He wants you to see it. This is not a secondhand experience. This is not some far off thing. He wants you to taste and see that He is good. We need to start experiencing the goodness of God in our lives and not just hear other people talk about how good God is. We got to jump in with both feet and stop being observers of the goodness of God, but be partakers. Praise God. There is no sideline Christianity. There is no lazy boy Christianity. I don't want to just hear about it. I don't want to just see it happen in other people's lives. Bless God, I want to experience it in my own life. Amen. Praise God for the ones who have gone before us. Praise God for the Oral Roberts, for the Kenneth E. Hagins, for the Kenneth Copelands, for the A.A. Allens, for whoever you want to put in that blank. Praise God for those who have laid the foundation of faith that we can all step into and walk out. And I don't mean this in a harsh way, and I don't mean this to offend anybody, but they're not here anymore. Billy Graham is in heaven. There is a mantle of faith that has been passed down to each and every single one of you. It's time to take it up and not just hear the stories of old, but to experience them in our own lives. Psalm 23, verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I love so much, this has been several months ago, but Pastor Mark was talking along these lines, and he gave some insight to what this verse actually says. It's not just surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, as if it's just following along behind you casually. No, it literally means surely goodness will get on me and jump all over me. His mercy and His goodness will attack you. It'll get all over you. This verse in the Amplified says, "Surely or only goodness." Only goodness. Did you know that you could get all the good and none of the bad? That's not popular. But God is a good God and the devil is a bad devil. And that's all you need to know about that situation. All good comes from God. All bad comes from the devil. And sin entering this world through Adam and Eve. This world is cursed and fallen. But Jesus came about to redeem us and bring us out and give us a new life and a new eternity, praise God. Only goodness and mercy and His unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life and through the length of my days. Did you know that He wanted you to have lengthy days? Surely goodness and mercy, His unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life, through the length of my days, for every day that I'm here. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord could also be interpreted His presence. I will dwell in His presence. That will be my dwelling place. The presence of God. Now let me tell you, when the presence of God is your dwelling place, when that's your house, there is nothing missing. There is nothing lacking. There is nothing broken. Because I dwell in the house of the Lord. I dwell in His presence. And though I face hardship, though I face trials and temptations, and though I have to exist and live in this world, I do not operate by its systems. And I do not bow to its broken way of doing things. It has no effect on me. I operate by a higher standard. Amen? Because His presence, the glory of the Lord, is my habitation. The glory of the Lord is my habitation. I will set my face on His goodness and His mercy, because when all of this passes away, that endures forever. I don't know how to end this. I just feel so strongly. Man, it's just, we want to see the glory here. And I know this is Wednesday night Bible study. We've studied the Bible. Amen. The presence of the Lord is in this room. When the anointing comes on the scene, the healing mercies of God are here. The delivering mercies of God are here. There's something to be said when you create an atmosphere for the presence of God to move, and I believe that we've done that here tonight. It's not anything that I've done. It's not anything that I am. It's not anything that I can do for you. But when you make room for the Holy Spirit and you make room for the glory of God to enter into a place, and then you don't take that opportunity and you don't yield to that, I believe it grieves the Holy Spirit. And I heard a man say recently, and I may have said this before, but we linger long enough to get into His presence, but we won't stay there long enough to enter into His glory. And I believe out of reverence and respect right now, and I believe that you all can be sensitive to that, we're going to let the Holy Spirit operate and have place here, because that's the only thing that's important, is what God wants to do. And again, I'm going to say this. I know it's Wednesday night Bible study, but I feel so strongly the anointing of God here. And if there's anybody here under the sound of my voice that feels like you're facing an impossible situation, I would invite you to come down to the front, and I want to lay hands on you, and I want to pray with you, and I want to thank God that He is good and that His mercy endures forever. So if that's you, come to the front. I just want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. I want to invite the Holy Spirit to step down into your situation and give you the opportunity to relinquish control of that thing and say, God, this looks impossible to me, but for you, nothing is impossible. Be bold enough tonight. Be bold enough tonight. What did He say to the lepers? He said, go and show yourselves. And what happened? It was as they went that they were healed. It was as they went. So tonight, it's as you go and step out. I believe before I even say a word to you or lay a hand on you, that as you're obedient to step out as you went, I believe that healing, I believe that deliverance, I believe that those things are just happening. Glory to God. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you right now. God, I thank you that your mercy has been made available. And as we take hold of it, and as we enter into it, and as we rest in it, God, I thank you that things would begin to happen. Things would begin to take place in their lives. Things would begin to transition in such a way that they could say, that's got to be God. God, I thank you that you would touch their lives in a special way. Father, that you would redeem the time, for the days are evil. I thank you that you would redeem the time Glory to God. Turn back the clock. And Father, bring them into a season. Bring them into a season of your glory, your presence, your anointing, your Holy Spirit. Father, that they would see the goodness of the Lord. Taste and see that He is good and that His mercies are everlasting from generation to generation to generation, to your kids, to your kids' kids, and to their kids. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, until we see the day of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven. Everybody lift your hands to heaven tonight. Glory to God. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus for the anointing that is on Brittany's life. Glory to God for the giftings that you have placed on the inside of her. Glory to God for the anointing to be able to say and do the very things that you have placed in her heart from when she was a child. God, the things that she has not yet entered into, the things that she has pondered and kept in her heart, the things that you have spoken to her, Father, may they start to open as she has opportunity and God, that she would have a boldness unlocked within her to step out and to say, even though I'm faced with this, I will praise you anyway. Even though I have this before me, I will praise you anyway. In the midst of the storm, I will rest in the one who speaks to wind and waves, who causes those things to cease. In the name of Jesus. Cease in the name of Jesus. Cease in the name of Jesus. Cease and go in peace. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Glory to God. 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 Thank you, Jesus. I believe that when I said there is no sideline Christianity, that I was speaking to you. There is no sideline Christianity. This is not just a dabble here and a dabble there, but this is eternal. So, Lord, I thank you right now. I thank you right now. Glory to God, that this becomes something that sears on the inside of him. Father, I thank you that it is burning on the inside of him with a passion for the things of God, for the things of the Spirit, for the things of the Word. God, I thank you that he begins to take serious and study the Word of God in such a way that revelation light would be brought to him, things that he's never seen or experienced before, though he's grown up in these things. He's heard these things. He knows these things deep on the inside of him. I believe that just like opening a curtain in the morning, the light would come in and that he would see it with brand new eyes in the name of Jesus. the eyes of your understanding being enlightened to the knowledge and the truth and the hope of His calling. New utterances by the instruction of the Holy Spirit, glory to God, that you would have the ability to speak into people's lives and touch people's lives that I would never dream of touching or speaking into. Glory to God. Father, I thank you. I thank you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Hey, we're still good on time. I haven't even gone an hour yet. Glory to God. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Everybody stand to your feet. I thank you for being attentive and having reverence as God does what only God can do. Hallelujah. The power of the Holy Spirit in operation in this place. And do not be deceived. This is not by my power, by my might, but by the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Everybody bow your heads. Father, I thank you that everyone under the sound of my voice would enter into a new knowing of who you are. Father, that we would receive from you like we never have before. That it would not be a struggle. That we would not say, God, it's not working. But that we would have such a knowledge of you, such a closeness, such a tight relationship with you, that it would be just like an exchange between parent and child. For if you, being evil, can give good gifts to your children, how much more will God do for you? So, Father, I thank you that you are ready and willing to do for us. Just as the leper said, God, if you are, Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And what did Jesus say? I am. I am willing. He's willing, and he is well able. Father, we thank you tonight for your presence in this place. God, I thank you for your word, that it's life-giving and life-changing for all those who choose to believe it and act on it and apply it to their everyday life. And Father, I thank you that as we leave this place, that we would develop just a little bit more each day who we are in you and who you are in us. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Glory to God. Thank you guys so much. You are dismissed.